right, coming up in 6 minutes when a bunch of stations join us, we're going to air the entire Dr. David E. Martin interview here. We'll also be posting it in the full interview soon to Infowars.com and at Real Alex Jones on X. But I know you as an audience are really aware, you're really informed, you've done your own research. But remember, the general public's ready to wake up. They're starting to wake up. They need this interview. So it'll be up on Real Alex Jones. You need to get it. You need to share it. It's coming up. But just getting back to what I was just saying earlier, they are so freaked out and angry that 13 years ago, my dad set up a sub company to make sure we had the highest quality and did that, and that that's separate from us. Or that he has his own shopping cart and his own warehouse and his own system, and they go on the news in Bloomberg, AP, Wired Magazine, CNN, and say, Jones caught in a massive new crime. Not the $400 million I had hidden in my backyard that didn't exist. Not all the other crap. They said, no, he suddenly is diverting with a sponsor he's had for years at DrJonesNaturals.com. Because we follow the law. We followed everything. And my dad has supported this operation, done a great job. I love him, David Jones. And they've sued him and gone after him too. And you stand with us. You stand with President Trump when you go to drjonesnaturals.com and get all of these amazing products, like the highest quality green caps that are the essence of the sprouting, not just wheatgrass, but a bunch of other known sprouts that flush out your guts and boost your immunity and do incredible things. It's 40% off, 57% off, 30 parts per million, colloidal silver. It's the same, it's a private label, the same company sold in Whole Foods for $30. We normally sell it for $24. Right now it's $12. It sits there on your shelf, topical. You can ingest it. Antiviral, antibacterial, it's on record. And they go, oh, he's a kook, he sells silver. Why is it in Whole Foods? Why is it in CVS? Why is it in Walgreens under other names? And here's the thing. I was promoting colloidal silver 28 years ago, not my first few years, because we had the studies and it was a big thing. We sold the little generators that you hook onto silver and water and make your own. Hospitals have even moved away from iodine as the topical because the bacteria have gotten resistance. And now they spray silver on it. They used to, back before they had refrigeration, they do to put silver dollars in your milk on the wagon trains. They throw a few silver dollars in the milk because they knew it made the milk last longer. They had root cellars too, down the ground where it was 60 degrees, but wasn't as good as refrigerators today. So everything we promote is documented, like turmeric. Everybody knows turmeric's anti-inflammatory, but most turmeric sold is 4%. That's what it is raw. We have the highest quality concentrated turmeric at InfoWarsStore.com, Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula. Back 7-8 years ago, we go to one of the top manufacturers. We say, what's the strongest turmeric curcuminoid you got? And they said, 75%. Nobody goes above 75. They said, how high could you go? We'll go, we'll get back with you a month later. We can go 95. 95% curcuminoid. My wife has joint pains and stuff. She's a big sports person. She takes these big old horse pills, and I said, hey, of turmeric. And then they help her some. And I said, either stop playing tennis twice a day or whatever, or take this. She goes, well, this is lower milligram. I already take these. I go, hey, honey, this stuff you're taking is raw turmeric. This is concentrated. She goes, oh, my God, one capsule of this is like four horse pills of the other. I said, I told you, sweetheart, it's 95% curcuminoid. InfoWarsStore.com or 888-253-3139. So support our sponsor. Stand with us. And I salute you all and I thank you. InfoWarsStore.com or 888-253-3139 or DrJonesNaturals.com for all the nano silver products and so much more. But take action. We're in a fight. I told you we were. They denied it. Now they admit it. Will you stand with us and get great products at the same time? Now, the last thing I'm going to ask you before we go to this Dr. David Martin interview is take the live feed from Real Alex Jones. Take the live feed from InfoWars.com/show. Repost it, retweet it, share it. This is massive breakdown of the criminal globalist depopulation operation and the states preparing criminal charges and so much more. It is one of the most powerful interviews on COVID we've ever done and definitely one of the most important. I've done the interview. Now it's up to you to carry the ball and stop the globalists before they launch the next attack, as Albert Bourla just said they're getting ready to do.
Let me take some brain force, and then we'll do this commercial. How about that? I can think again. This is the liquid tincture version of Brain Force, which means you can really tailor it to exactly what you need. I tend to take maybe a little bit more than is directed, but it's incredibly powerful stuff, and I have an incredibly demanding job. But you make it easy by going to InfoWarsStore.com, and of course, InfoWarsStore.com makes it easy by supplying me with Brain Force Ultra. I rely on this product to do my job on a daily basis because it's absolutely jam-packed with incredible ingredients. Brain Force Ultra is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com, and get it now because this stuff sells out fast for very good reason. It's a fantastic supplement. It's the type of supplement that once you start taking it, well, you're going to notice if you stop. Go check out what's in Brain Force Ultra. Do your own research, and what you'll find is that this is a powerhouse formula for incredible mental clarity, focus, and energy. Now on sale at InfoWarsStore.com. Brain Force Ultra, it's now on sale at InfoWarsStore.com.
On the Coven Tyranny.
InfoWars. Tomorrow's news today.
Well, it's the issue of our age. COVID. Where did it come from? What's happening with the shots? The mass death? What's really happening? And long before COVID was released, Dr. David E. Martin, founder and chairman of MCAM Inc., the international leader in innovation, finance, trade, and intangible asset finance, was exposing their plan with the coronavirus. He's one of the big guests I wanted to get. 2 years ago, we had him. I had a family emergency, didn't get him on, but he came to the legislature in Texas today for an emergency meeting with the next big move against the tyrants. And so in the next hour and a half, he's about to have the floor here to do a major, just like me, he's got all the documents right there, ready to cover it. So I'm going to try to shut up and let him host the show here, davidmartin.world, an amazing time. And he said, hey, you finally want me? I'm in Texas. And I'm like, great, I want a remote. That's good. He goes, no, I'm here. And I said, let me guess, you're at the legislature talking about criminal charges. He said, well, yeah, I'll talk about it. So you've got Missouri coming out with major civil action. You've got the Ninth Circuit coming out last week or 2 weeks ago now and saying it's not a vaccine because they're covered by the 86 law unless they're involved in fraud. But you're the real expert. So I'm going to try to shut up now because you're one of the most requested guests from listeners and try to give you the floor to talk about 3+ years into the shot, 4 years into the virus, where we are. Thank you so much for being here. And again, you used to inspect, I guess, biological weapons. That's why, just like one of the other few guys that got all this, because you were there 4 years ago, the first person, along with Francis Boyle, who wrote the U.S. biological weapons law, because I tracked it back. You were the first two guys in like January 2020 that cracked the code. And now we've got a very clear picture. So thanks for being here. I'm going to really try to shut up because I love to add things. I love to talk and give you the floor, sir. Thank you so much, Dr. David E. Martin.
Alex, it's awesome to be here, and thank you. And listen, you know what I love about this is we've actually needed to talk for a long time, but the way things work, you know, fate had it that I needed to be in Austin, Texas, so here we are. Listen, there's a couple things that are actually really important, and this is where we have to actually start with some really simple premises. This entire exercise over the last 4.5 years was willfully misleading the population into taking something through coercion that would not have otherwise ever been accepted. We need to be really clear on the fact we're going to use some terms that piss people off, but that's okay. And I'm just going to go ahead and lay it out for you. Since 2002, there has not been a coronavirus. There has been an engineered pathogen engineered by Ralph Baric at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, where in 2002, he patented the infectious replication defective clone of coronavirus. And let's get really clear about this, because everybody sits there and says, well, yeah, but my aunt, my uncle, I got sick when something happened. Let's be abundantly clear. The coronavirus that has been branded to be part of COVID-19 does not exist. What does exist is a pathogen modeled off of properties of what was once upon a time isolated as coronavirus, but properties of it that increased its pathogenicity, increased its toxicity, but are you ready for this? Decreased its transmissibility. And Alex, this is the part that really pisses me off. Because we've been told that all the interventions, everything that we were supposed to do was, you know, lockdown, face mask, separate, distance this, vaccinate that, all based on an engineering exercise that, are you ready for this? In 2002 was patented to be non-transmissible. Now, not surprisingly, if you go back and look at 2002, 2003, when we heard SARS 1.0 happen, we were told that we were all supposed to die, just like we were supposed to all die of, you know, swine flu. We were all supposed to die of avian influenza. We were all supposed to die of all these other pathogens. Ironically, SARS 1.0 in 2002 going into 2003 didn't kill us all. In fact, it didn't kill hardly anybody. And that's because the patented weapon was an infectious replication defective clone derived from the coronavirus model. But it was not a pathogen of nature. And it has never been a pathogen of nature since 2002. So number one, let's start with that. But let's go to number two. Number two is a vaccine. And this is where even the communities in the health freedom movement get into vigorous arguments with me. A vaccine, by the definition established in the 1986 Act, and by the way, just to be abundantly clear, it is actually 26 U.S. Code Section 4132A2, right? What is a vaccine? It means a substance designed to be administered to a human being for the prevention of one or more diseases. Alex, prevention of one or more diseases. Did any of these injections prevent a damn thing? That's right. Everyone knows this, including, by the way, Pfizer and Moderna and AstraZeneca and Johnson & Johnson. They all knew that this would not prevent anything. And by the way, we've been told, well, the CDC administratively changed the term vaccination. And other people administratively changed the term vaccination. Here's a tiny little problem. They don't have the authority to administratively change it. The law dictates what a vaccination is, and nothing that was done during the entire pandemic constituted vaccination by the legal definition. And let's unpack that for 1 second, because here's what happened. Based on a set of code that Ralph Baric sent to the Vaccine Research Center in November of 2019, and you heard me say that date correctly, November 2019, that's allegedly before patient 1.0 in Wuhan. Ralph Baric sent a sequence to the Vaccine Research Center, and it was not for the coronavirus, and it was not for the coronavirus vaccine. It was for the mRNA that was used to instruct the human body to make a scheduled pathogen. Let me say that again, to make a scheduled pathogen. What they did was they said, what we're going to do is we're going to inject into the arms of billions of people the instructions to turn each individual into a bioweapons factory. And you could say, well, that's hyperbole, Dave. Don't call it a bioweapons factory, except here's the tiny little problem. Under 18 U.S. code, that's exactly what it is. If you instruct a person to make a scheduled toxin, you, in fact, are a biological weapons manufacturer. And every single person that took the shot, let's be really clear, every single person that took the shot became the manufacturer of a synthetic spike protein associated with the coronavirus model. And this is where people like Aaron Seary will say, well, hold on a second, Dave. There's all kinds of vaccinations that do all kinds of other things. And that's true. He's right up to a point. But the difference between this and everything that's been done before is really simple. In the case of mRNA, there are two distinctions that are absolutely unique to the COVID pandemic. Number one, we actually are creating the mechanism to instruct the body to manufacture a toxin. This is not to trigger an immune response. We hope that, by the way, there will be an immune response after the fact. But the problem is, what is actually injected is the instructions to make the pathogen, number one. And number two, the response is actually a hopeful response that failed to consider two very critical things. Number one, the lipid nanoparticle in which the shot was delivered actually is also a toxin. So the bad news is we're going to deliver it as a toxin. And then the worst part about it is that we actually introduced a thing called pseudouridine. And pseudouridine in 2018 was published to be a pro-cancer agent, meaning that it actually shuts down the body's natural response to how we actually recognize tumors and suppress tumors. And we actually included pseudouridine in every single one of the mRNA shots to stabilize the mRNA so that it actually stayed in the human body longer to achieve its effect.
And doctor, I want you to go through all this the way you want, but dumb it down for me, because I'm a pretty smart guy. Yeah. And when I started hearing you 3-4 years ago, I talked to other experts, seen peace here, emails about COVID-19, how they already had it on the shelf, Chapel Hill and Obama and the scandal in 2014. And when we get to once, when I hear you, I know it's all true because I've read it and seen it and seen it, but nobody puts it together like you. And you do a great job at Congress and legislatures and the EU, doing a great job laying it out. But first, do me a favor, dumb it down, the premise up front of what it's really about, and then lay it out.
Yeah, well, so the premise is really simple. They actually said, and by the way, it's best to read the criminals in their own words. This was published February 12, 2016 in the National Academy of Sciences, National Library of Medicine. Until an infectious disease crisis is very real, present, and at an emergency threshold that is largely ignored to sustain the funding base beyond the crisis, we need to increase the public understanding of the need for medical countermeasures such as a pan-influenza or a pan-coronavirus vaccine. Now, remember the date. This is 2015.
And that's why Fauci, right when Trump got elected, said he'll be challenged by a major new virus.
Right. We actually, here it is. But here comes the kicker. A key driver is the media, and the economics will follow the hype. We need to use that hype to our advantage to get to the real issues. Investors will respond if they see profit at the end of the process. Now,
so this is all master planned.
Master planned. And who did the master plan? Well, good news is we have that one too. The master plan was done by none other than the Wellcome Trust, NIAID, Anthony Fauci, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, specifically Dr. Chris Elias, Dr. Gao from the CDC of the People's Republic of China, and a whole host of others who sit on what's called the Global Preparedness Monitoring Board. And Alex, you know what they said in September 18th, 2019? And for those of you not familiar with calendars, because I'm going to dumb this thing down, September came before December in 2019.
Before the virus.
Yeah, you'd think so. But here's a tiny little problem. They said on September 18th, 2019, that by September 20 of 2020, the world would accept a universal vaccine. And not only would they accept the universal vaccine, let's get abundantly clear what they said. They would do so in response, and by the way, it is printed. You can't unsee this. It's on page 8 of the book, The World at Risk. They said that there was going to be an accidental or deliberate release of a lethal respiratory pathogen. And this is where we have to cross the line to make it really simple. To advance the commercial and social interests of psychopaths that wanted to kill human beings for the sake of their agenda, they decided to unleash a lethal respiratory pathogen on the population so the population would be bamboozled into taking an mRNA shot which would permanently alter their human condition.
And by the way, start over, because you've done the best job, and it's true, out of everybody, you've done the best job at going back to the pre-documents. I'm not a rocket scientist, but we played the clips of Fauci 2018-19 on C-SPAN with all the federal regulators going, there's going to be a big thing that blows up the old system, and we're going to probably use a bird flu to totally take control and put mRNA in you. I mean, why have they been so arrogant in their admissions that you've been the best job organizing?
So I think it's really simple. I think sociopaths, like mass murderers, like serial killers, like to taunt you. They actually like to up the ante. They like to go, I'm even going to tell you what I'm going
to
do.
Yeah, we know psychopaths love to monologue.
They love it. And so what you've got is a situation where they're actually telling you it's going to happen. They're telling you how it's going to happen. They actually are financing, they're projecting in Event 201 in October of 2019. In Event 201, they actually had all of the promo materials, the N95 masks, the social media shutdown, the how we're going to intervene.
Social distancing. SPARS predicts it all.
They made it all up, right? So it's all out in front of you. And who was the funder of that? Well, it turns out, once again, the antitrust conspirator, none other than, are you ready for this? Dustin Moskowitz, co-founder of Facebook, the name that you should all know.
And Google's heavily invested.
Yeah. But the bigger thing, here's the thing. When Dustin Moskowitz wrote the check for Event 201, he actually got the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, he got Johns Hopkins University, and he got the World Economic Forum to all say that they were collaborating as co-sponsors of Event 201. But the check writer was Open Philanthropy. The check writer was a vested interest Facebook co-founder who mysteriously had all of the resources to fact check people like me who tried to say, hey, world, there's something coming. And guess what? Facebook mysteriously was able to anticipate that I was going to be the one commenting on this. So we have.
So they've war-gamed this.
They war-gamed this so well.
But that's a two-way street, though. Because
right?
You create a war game, it's great for you, but now we can war game it back.
That is exactly right. And what's happening right now, unfortunately for them, is they thought they had prevailed. They really did. And it was not until, by the way, the Ninth Circuit, that just actually issued a ruling a week and a half ago, it wasn't until the Ninth Circuit came out and said, hold on a minute, everybody's been calling this thing a vaccination. Everybody's been calling this a public health emergency. Everybody's been calling this a public health intervention to make sure that we don't transmit disease, because we know that we were supposed to get the shot so that we didn't get grandma sick, and we were supposed to get the shot so that we didn't get healthcare workers sick, and we didn't get restaurateurs sick, and we didn't get the public sick. Well, here's the tiny little problem. The shot was never going to do that. They knew it. Pfizer knew it. Moderna knew it. Everybody knew it. They knew that what they were going to do was actually allegedly decrease hospitalizations. But when they designed the clinical trial, they also knew that the thing they were injecting into people was lethal. And so here's a little tiny problem. We changed the definition of vaccination. No kidding. And we changed the definition of an adverse event following vaccination in 2018 and 2019 so that legally there was no adverse event. If you got the shot and fell over dead, that was not an adverse event. Isn't that interesting? Death, not an adverse event. You literally get the shot, you keel over dead because you actually died of COVID because you weren't vaccinated until 14 days after the second injection.
By the way, you're the expert at putting it all together, so let me skip ahead, give us the conclusion for people, then I want you to walk through all the documents. I don't think it's going well. I think you just said that. Obviously, it's blowing up their face. What were they actually planning with this power grab?
Well, listen, let's get really, really clear. 2028 is a nightmare for the world. And it's a nightmare for the world because we actually have a convergence of a bunch of things. Our fiscal policy that's totally mismanaged, the collapse of the Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid pension funds. Giant surprise. Who did we actually inject first? Oh, that's right. The 65-year-old.
So they need a global emergency to cover up what's coming.
That's exactly right. And to preempt by death the people who inconveniently be in the way when we find out that Social Security.
So it's Logan's Run. They literally are trying to get rid of the old.
Absolutely.
Keep going. I'm sorry to interrupt.
And listen, I mean, Bill Gates in 2011, 2012, when the first global vaccination program was launched by the Global Preparedness Monitoring Board, Bill Gates actually said that a successful vaccination program would decrease the population by his estimate of 10%.
And he said we must have depopulation to save the economy.
Exactly.
Wow.
So here we go.
So they're telling you.
So do the math. Do the math. And this isn't hard math. There's 8 billion people on Earth. He was actually carelessly suggesting that 800 million people, not by the way, let's not talk about
it. It was a TED TV, very cavalier.
Right. 800 million people need to be shoved off the planet by 2028.
Wow.
First, we've got population. Now, the world today has 6.8 billion people. That's headed up to about 9 billion. Now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, healthcare, reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%. But there we see an increase of about 1.3.
If that number doesn't actually wake you up, and people keep saying, well, nobody could be that bad, right? Nobody could be that nefarious. Well, the answer is not only can they, but it's your reflex that says that could not be possible.
They made them do it.
That is the reason why they're doing it. So what we're trying to do.
The naivete is the reason they made the move.
Exactly right. And so where we are is in a world where right now political theater is happening. Many of you have celebrated, unfortunately, things like the lawsuits that have been filed against Pfizer and the COVID Select Committee in the House of Representatives. But here's a little tiny problem, and I'm going to go ahead and put this little problem on air so that we can actually increase the amount that this is a problem for the House COVID Select Committee. I have right here in my hand the October 21, 2014 letter directed from NIAID, that's Anthony Fauci's program, to Sherry Settle at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. And I want to go into a little bit of detail on this because this was during the gain-of-function moratorium. And during the gain-of-function moratorium, Sherry Settle at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, Ralph Barrick's program administrator, was told that the gain-of-function studies that he was doing were actually subject to the gain-of-function moratorium. But not only was he told in the final paragraph of the letter, as your grant is currently funded, this pause is voluntary. Alex, if you had a mandatory, I don't know, moratorium, and then you found out that a moratorium was voluntary, I don't know what world you live in, but it feels like that's not a moratorium. It feels like if you're telling somebody, you could stop. But not only could you go ahead, it turns out that the official statement was that any program that was already being funded was allowed to keep going. And most people would look at that and say, okay, is that really a big deal? Well, it turns out that it is a big deal because the person who received that particular notice was the person who in 2005, June of 2005, at the birth of the PrEP Act, actually said synthetic coronaviruses were biological warfare enabling technology. Biological warfare enabling technology. Does that sound like public health to you? Does that sound like something that we should be excited about? Or is there an outside chance that if we actually are funding a guy who's actually saying this is biological warfare enabling technology, this is not my words, this is his presentation to the DARPA MITRE conference.
And Dr. Martin, let me just stop because I've watched probably 300 of your videos. Yep. I've watched all these interviews. Let's start over here because this is very interesting. We talked about who you are. I looked you up, everything you say you are. How are you already aware of this, as you said, for decades coming?
Yeah.
Spend a few minutes on yourself. You never do that.
I don't because I'm actually trying to save this country. So.
No, but people want to know who this guy is.
No, that's fair. And so.
No, you're really interesting. People want to hear it.
Why do we know this? In the 1990s, Mosaic Technologies, the company I started, did a lot of work in treaty-restricted technology transfer. And what that just means in plain English is there were a bunch of offensive military technologies that were developed around the world, and my company was used by the United States government to help us access technologies that were of strategic defense interest and strategic commercial interest to the United States. But because of ITAR rules, because of all kinds of other things, they couldn't be freely moved. So my company was about civilianizing technology so that it could be exported. That got us into a bunch of places where we got to see biological and chemical weapons labs around the world. So that's how I got into it in the first place.
So just from pure work you learned about it.
Yeah, it was the company I started. But in 1998, an interesting thing happened. Because we set up a company called MCAM, which is the company I continue to run today, because we set up MCAM, we were asked by the government again to provide a mechanism where banks could actually get credit for intangible asset collateral. That's a big word. Let's unpack it. Patents, copyrights, trademarks, anything.
And that's how you see them listing viruses
that's
they've
exactly
developed.
Right.
I'll explain it.
No, that's
so you're seeing them list these weapons.
We are literally watching in real time. We are watching in real time as people file patents, as people get grants, as people do collaborations, as corporations get involved in illicit activities. We're watching.
So you're not following the money. You are the money.
We are the money.
As we continue to wait and hope that more and more people wake up every single day, some that took the bait are now starting to realize that we, the COVID unvaccinated, weren't all wrong. This is that message to you, the unvaccinated. Even if I were pollinated and fully vaccinated, I would admire the unvaccinated for withstanding the greatest pressure I've ever seen. From partners, parents, children, friends, colleagues, and even doctors.
COVID vaccines are now available for children 5 years and older.
Just get vaccinated.
Get the vaccine.
Just get the vaccine.
People who are capable of such personality, courage, and critical ability are undoubtedly the best part of humanity.
There are many thousands of physicians who have been silenced from telling the American people
the good news about the situation, that we can manage the virus.
They are everywhere, in all ages, levels of education, states, and ideas. They are of a special kind. They are the soldiers that every army of light wants to have in its ranks. They are the parent that every child wants to have and the children that every parent dreams of having.
A North Carolina teenager needs a new kidney in order to save her life. But her doctors say no COVID vaccine, no transplant.
Vaccinated person having a heart attack? Yes, come right on in. We'll take care of you. Unvaccinated guy who gobbled horse goo? Rest in peace, Wheezy.
They are beings above the average of their societies.
You need to evaluate the risk factor in the COVID vaccine.
They are the essence of the people who have, well, built all cultures and conquered horizons. They are there, next to you. They look normal, but they are superheroes. They did what others could not. They were the tree that withstood the hurricane of insults, discrimination, and social exclusion.
Now, what really stands out about white anti-vaxxers in particular is that they act like their freedom has been taken.
It has nothing to do with freedom.
Screw your freedom.
You don't have the freedom and the liberty to put other people in jeopardy.
Banned from their family's tables at Christmas, they never saw anything so cruel.
If someone in your family isn't vaccinated, should you ask them not to show up?
Yes, I would do that.
If you are not fully vaxxed, stay home.
Everyone from police to teachers to firefighters must comply or they will face penalties.
They lost their jobs, let their careers sink, had no more money. They suffered immeasurable discrimination, denunciation, betrayal, and humiliation, but they kept on going. Never before in humanity has there been such a casting. Now, we all know who are the best on the planet Earth. Men, women, young, old, rich, poor, of all races or religions, the unvaccinated, the chosen of the invisible ark, the only ones who managed to resist when everything collapsed. That's you. You passed an unimaginable test that many of the toughest Marines, commandos, Green Berets, astronauts, and even geniuses could not withstand. You are made of the stuff of the greatest who ever lived. Those heroes born among ordinary men who glow in the dark. Remember, you're the voice, and it's time to make it count.
He said there's a storm coming in.
I know.
We told you what was going to happen, and it did. Now we're telling you what's coming. At Real Alex Jones on X.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order. It's Alex Jones. Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want to stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from the Infowars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
And in 168 countries. So,
total surveillance.
I see the world. And here's where the problem kicks in. We set our systems to monitor the 68 scheduled pathogens, which are part of the biological weapons arsenal of the world. So anytime anything happened, a scientific publication came out, a patent was filed, a grant was filed, anything else, that popped up in our system. So we were flagging these things the first time we wrote about...
As a government contractor.
Well, as contracting to the government, our contracts were with the Commerce Department and the Treasury Department because we did a whole bunch of investigations in criminal activities. But our work on biological weapons surveillance actually kicked into full gear in 2003. And the reason for that was that in 2001, after the anthrax scare, most people forget that, the anthrax scare of September 28th of 2001, which was when all of us actually found out that the United States government attacked itself. Right? Anthrax came out of a U.S. lab and then went into the mail and then went into circulation. And that terror attack in 2001
Fort Detrick
came out of the fort. And what happened with that is we began the investigations for that, ultimately getting the world to realize that the reason why the anthrax attack happened and the reason why the SARS event happened in 2003 was so that we would get to the PREP Act. And a lot of people don't understand this linkage, but let's make it abundantly clear. The reason why we needed the PREP Act is because the manufacturers of vaccines in 1986 got the childhood vaccines covered under their immunity shield, which is what they appointed Fauci to his role to get as an outcome. But the problem is, as the term vaccination changed, as we decided to inject people with all kinds of other things, which began in earnest in the early 1990s, what we needed to do was we needed to extend that liability protection so that it would cover adult injections, specifically in the wake of the Gulf War. Gulf War I, we had to actually figure out how to get that liability protection associated with adult injections. And as a result of that, we needed to create the illusion of pandemics to get people to give up their liberty in 2005 in the PREP Act. The whole reason for SARS 1.0 and the whole reason for the anthrax attack was to get commercial liability protections at the cost of civil liberties. That's why we did it. And as a country, we sat back and did nothing. And I'm sitting there banging on pots and pans, trying to get people to pay attention that there are real weapons coming.
I remember, what was it, like 30,000 troops died from anthrax shot or something?
Oh, yeah. In fact, we have the Gulf War syndrome that to this day, the Veterans Administration is allowing veterans to suffer and die with indifference because we are unwilling to actually acknowledge what were the multivalent injections that went into people during the Gulf War I, II, during the allegedly Desert Storm and Operation Iraq Freedom and all of the other.
Sure. So I interrupted going back to your roots.
No, that's all right.
It's interesting. Now I interrupt you. We've got an hour left. We're gracious. You're gracious to be here. So get back into what happened with COVID and where we're going.
Yeah. So back to the motivation. And Alex, we have to call it what it is. The motivation was we have a commercially interested group of sociopaths who want to make money while killing people. That's the bottom line.
And creating a global control grid for the social credit score out of the vaccine passport.
No question. But the reason why that's important, remember, is if you can weaponize healthcare, if you can weaponize the idea that you need to do something in the interest of surviving.
That's a victorious beachhead.
It's a phenomenal beachhead. You get behavior modification, you get compliance, you get all sorts of other things. And the key thing is, all of this lives inside of the deceptive medical practices programs where every single word associated with this pandemic, the word virus, the word vaccination, the word infection, every single one of these words had to be changed to deceive the population and coerce them to take something that they would not otherwise take.
So this is the globalist coup. I remember decades ago, the UN documents leaked when Lou Dobbs got them at CNN, when he was the head of CNN. They said, we're going to use Aziz X to take over the world.
That's exactly right. And they told us this, people. This is not a new thing. So there are 8 criminal counts in the world, 8 criminal counts of activities that are associated with this particular pandemic. And let's go through them just so we actually have them. The criminal counts are 18 U.S. Code, acts of domestic terrorism resulting in the death of Americans. Why would I say that that was what happened? Well, let's get really clear. I say it because it turns out that they knew on September 18th, 2019, that they were going to release a lethal respiratory pathogen. They used the word lethal. They knew it was deadly. They knew it was going to kill people. And let's, for the sake of—
It's not of a wet lab or a wet market. It didn't happen on accident.
China virus.
It was all pre-programmed.
It wasn't China virus. Remember that in 2016, the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, there is a very, very, very clear statement that says WIV-1 is poised for human emergence. Alex, you want to guess what WIV-1 is in 2016? It's the Wuhan Institute of Virology Virus 1. But guess where that paper was done, and guess where that paper was published? That paper was published at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, not in Wuhan, China. As a matter of fact, the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill impaneled an institutional review board to review the ethics of the study, and then they impaneled a second review board to review the ethics of breaking the law. And nobody's talking about this.
The ethics of gain of function.
No, the ethics of overriding the law that said that they should not be doing gain of function during the moratorium.
Sure, and that's why it's ridiculous. Because you have all the documents, and I've read the, like, Fauci sends emails years ago, we're doing gain of function.
Right. And then in front of people like Rand Paul, who somehow can't seem to lay his hands on the letter that I just showed you.
By the way, it's important to criticize him. I want to think he's a good guy, but he's as smart as you or I, or probably smarter than me, might be smart as you. He literally won't go there.
That's exactly right.
What's going on?
Well, listen.
You've called him out. Let's do that right now.
Rand Paul won't go there, and the House Select Committee won't go there, and they won't.
Well, where is there? Explain it.
Well, there is that, listen, since the 1960s and early 1970s, we actually said that we weren't going to subscribe to the Nuremberg Code. Now, that's interesting, given the fact that the United States was the Chief Justice for Nuremberg. So, ironic that we actually come up with the international law, and then we go, we don't want to actually follow that law because we want to have our own covert programs. So, we actually went ahead and developed our own international code. This is where Francis Boyle's work comes in, because his very important work was to say, well, hold on a second, we should actually have laws against biological weapons in this country. And so his work coming up with 18 U.S. code was very critical to say, we're not going to adopt Nuremberg, but we are going to at least say that we shouldn't do biological weapons. That's a good thing. But here comes the kicker. Nobody wants to admit that the United States government is actually funding these programs and laundering these programs through universities in very important electoral locations around the world. People tell me about election integrity and election reform. Let's get really clear. Why is it that Texas, why is it that North Carolina, why is it that Virginia, why is it that all of these states, Tennessee, Kentucky, why is it that for some mysterious reason, none of the senators and none of the congressmen from these places have the audacity to actually go, hey, hold on a minute. I think our university is actually running a biological weapons program. I'll tell you the answer. The answer is those are black budget programs where NIAID has a disclosed amount of money, and right next to it is a DARPA grant that matches it. And the DARPA grant that matches it is the way we, I don't know, fund university buildings, and we.
Well, that's right. I was all these 25 years ago. I was let in to UT, the secret buildings, by a guy that was a big listener who later moved to MIT, and it was all DARPA on the doors.
Absolutely,
it was all DARPA, 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 DARPA.
Absolutely, and it's the gift that keeps giving. If you go to University of Tennessee right now, giant shock, Battelle, the giant nonprofit institution that's multi-billions of dollars of laundering federal money into institutions, giant shock. Nobody in Congress, nobody in the Senate, and particularly Rand Paul, is going to actually call out the fact that the Wuhan investigation is a cover story to make sure that no one knows that the United States is funding the programs in the United States.
And that's what Eisenhower warned of. But you're right. Rand Paul always says Wuhan and Fauci, but yep. It's on record. It was a scandal 2014-15. Good scientists went public about Chapel Hill and gained a function with SARS.
No question.
So let's just call it out. What is wrong with Rand Paul? Is he on the payroll?
Absolutely. And the great news is most of the people, in fact, I hate to say this, but most of the people listening to this particular show may very well go, well, he's the better of evil. Let's get really clear on something, Americans and the rest of the world. It's time that we don't settle for the lesser of evils. Just because somebody actually loves to go in a sparring match and allows Anthony Fauci to lie in front of Congress and has in his possession that October 2014 letter where specifically NIAID said that this was gain-of-function research. Let's be unambiguous.
Yeah, why is that? Been out for years.
That letter.
So is he like
public.
Iron Sheik with Hulk Hogan? This is
no question. This is entire theater, and it's good fundraising. And I am sick and tired of having allegedly the.
Well, let's say it. If this is true, and I think it is, then Rand Paul should face charges like Fauci.
There's no question because there's a law.
No, I agree. I had family die from this crap. I'm sick of playing games with these Republicans.
18 U.S. Code Section 1001, lying to Congress. You know what's this?
Your cardiovascular system is under attack. Everybody knows it. And I've got in my hands two products that are absolutely insane when it comes to what they do for your body and your overall health. One of them is the highest grade fish oil you can find. Everybody knows how good fish oil is. This is as good as it gets. And when you purchase it at InfoWarsStore.com, you support the broadcast, a 360 win. And then, of course, Nitric Boost. You've heard all the rage about this. A whole bunch of concentrated natural compounds that clean out your blood and clean out your cardiovascular system. Everybody should be taking both of these products at InfoWarsStore.com. And both of them, by the way, are 40% off for a limited time. Now, the sale is going to end in about 2 weeks.
because we've already sold out of more than half of these products since they came back in. But if you want to get Ultimate Fish Oil and Nitric Boost for 40% off, get them both today at InfoWarsStore.com. And I want to thank you all for supporting the broadcast. I want to thank you all for spreading the word, because without you, we are nothing. To keep my broadcast on air, it is more critical than ever that you support our sponsors. And many of the great products that have been available for years at InfoWarsStore.com are no longer available there. They're exclusively available at DrJonesNaturals.com. The URL is below on screen. All of the patented nano silver products like the toothpaste and the wound gel and the immune gargle are there at DrJonesNaturals.com. And many other amazing products like a super high quality organic multivitamin, next level foundational energy, CavaChill, Rocket Rest, Top Brain, the list goes on and on. Please visit DrJonesNaturals.com today or visit the link below and support the broadcast while getting amazing products at the same time. Thank you so much for your past support, and I'm encouraging you now to go to DrJonesNaturals.com. It's critical to keeping my broadcast on the air, plus their amazing products. Thank you for your support. Now please take action by going to DrJonesNaturals.com today and checking out the amazing products.
Thing. That's not a, hey, you shouldn't do it. That's a law. And it is equally false. Let's get really precise on this. It's equally false for a congressman or a senator to continue to perpetrate a lie in Congress about the Wuhan virus and the leak, and was it a lab leak, and was it this or that. It's equally problematic for an elected official to lie in Congress as it is for a Supreme Court justice like Sotomayor, who lied about the pathology associated with coronavirus, which allegedly justified why we should have compulsory vaccinations for healthcare providers. And it's equally problematic for Fauci to lie and say he didn't do gain-of-function moratorium.
And now they're coming back with bird flu. So you're doing a great job. We've got an hour left. I'm going to try to shut up. Give me the floor, Dr.
No, that's cool.
Martin. No. Start back over 20 minutes going uninterrupted, which you went on great rabbit trails. Go after Paul, too, because I'm tired of playing games. It's clear he knows everything. He's acting like it's just Fauci or it's just a few guys. We got Redfield running scared. That's all positive at one level. We know Paul knows this. Let's call him out. Why isn't he doing this? You're right. It's a limited hangout. But start back when you were in the history of the virus, what was being set up, what COVID really was, and you got the floor.
Yeah. So listen. We got to go back to 1965. The first time coronavirus was ever considered to be isolated was 1965. And the first thing we did with it in 1966 is we actually take it from the United States and we infect British people, British volunteers. It was the first time we actually figured out that you could actually take a pathogen from one part of the world and move it willfully to another part of the world to see if you could make people sick. So just to be abundantly clear, coronavirus has been in play as a biological weapon agent since 1966. And most people just have their mind melt when they say that, because the first time they heard about it, most people, the first time they heard about it was in 2019. But the fact of the matter is it's been around since 1966 as a biological weapon. But let's advance to 1990. In 1990, Pfizer filed its first patent. And by the way, you heard the date correctly. In 1990, Pfizer filed the first patent on a vaccine for coronavirus. Is it any wonder that Pfizer was in the game and knew that it was going to actually somehow mysteriously show up with a vaccine? Oh.
And they told Trump, we made it in 2 days.
Yeah, they had a patent in 1990.
Doc, you've got the floor. And I'm not going to interrupt you. Keep going.
No, it's all good. So you have this amazing thing where you say, hold on a minute. We've got a known agent that we know makes people sick, that's a problem. But now it gets to be a bigger problem, because in 1999, going into 2000, 2001, a very interesting problem happened. And that was that Ralph Baric figured out how to modify a component of the protein associated with coronavirus. And he actually made it into something that would target heart tissue. And Alex, it's important for us to actually say this, because in Kansas, in Texas, and soon to be in several of the states, there are a number of programs currently filing deceptive medical practices claims against Pfizer. And we need to be abundantly clear about the fact that this is actually something which is a good step, but it's an inadequate step, because we need to go further than what we've done so far. Because what happened in 1999 is Ralph Baric's coronavirus modification and manipulation program took what used to be a respiratory and a gastrointestinal bug and turned it into something that would actually create cardiomyopathy in rabbits. And in 2002, that gave rise to the patent that was filed called the Infectious Replication Defective Clone of Coronavirus. Now, infectious replication defective, what on earth does that mean? That means that we're going to take an attribute associated with our model of the virus, and we're going to take that attribute and we're going to weaponize it. And we're going to weaponize it in a very precise way. We're going to amplify the ability for it to interact with a cell, to target a cell, and to actually harm the organism. But replication defective means we actually don't want it to act like a virus where it goes into the cell, multiplies, and then goes out. What we want to do is we want to use the technology associated with the protein to achieve an outcome. And in 1999, going into 2002, the world knew that the thing that had been modified was actually modified so that it would inflame the cardiovascular system. And I don't know how to explain this in a way that anybody can quite wrap their head around, but when Pfizer and Moderna and AstraZeneca and Johnson & Johnson all said, oh my gosh, we're surprised by the heart disease. We're surprised by the sudden cardiac death. We're surprised by the inflammation of the cell linings of the vascular system. We're surprised by the clot formations. Not a single one of those statements was true. No one was surprised. This was published data between 1999 and 2002. So we need to be extremely clear on this. This nonsense that somehow or another Pfizer was the victim of an unintended consequence is absolute BS. They knew it was going to hit the human heart. They knew it was going to hit the vascular system. They knew there were going to be clots. And all of this was published in 2000.
And let me just back you up again.
No worries.
Because and digress back to where you were, but I'm digressing. Remember October 2020, the CDC and the FDA puts out a document predicting bad reactions, adverse reactions that predict the myocarditis, blood clots, strokes. Yep. So why do they, I guess they brag? I mean, what is that?
They did. They bragged.
It's insane.
This was this expediency argument that says, well, a few people are going to suffer, a few people are going to die, but it's all in the interest of public health. So as long as it's not your mom.
That was about getting their own employees when this happened to leave us for the greater good.
And this is, we're going to go ahead and kill people.
One time about 15 years ago, I was on the hike and bike trail, quick story. And I was like hiking 5-6 miles and I came up and the guy told me his name when I wrote it down when I got in my car. And he was the head of the Texas Health Department.
Yep.
And he said, Alex, you're right about the shots. They are hurting some people, but we've decided it's for the greater good. It helps more than it hurts, which he knows is not true. He told me his name. I pulled his name up in the car on my phone and looked. He was the head of the health department.
Yeah.
So the state head health department, he was telling me the same thing. This is their cult.
Yeah. And they are okay with the necessary deaths. Remember, and Bill Gates's number is 800 million. Right. 800 million. Like, Hitler couldn't have fantasized that number.
Yeah, Hitler was a lightweight.
My gosh. You know, you sit there going, Stalin, Hitler, Pol Pot, you know, Mao, put them all together, and they're freaking not even in the farm team, right? That's not Major League. What we're talking about is Major League. But what's critical to understand is that we knew not only that this was going to harm and kill people, but we also knew that in 2010, when mysteriously a venture capitalist and a guy who is actually part of the National Science Foundation's research program called Darwinian Chemical Systems.
Ha ha!
I love that you laughed because I laughed.
They're telling you right there.
Darwinian Chemical Systems. And people go, well, what's Darwinian Chemical Systems, Dave? Well, the answer is really simple. For 10 years, the National Science Foundation, starting in 2000, going to 2010, wanted to figure out if you could introduce mRNA into a cell and get the cell to write into the genome of the host cell. And it turns out that 10 years in, they succeeded. And you know what they called the company that they formed? Oh, that's right, Moderna. Modified RNA. Moderna. They told you what this was. And they didn't tell you.
So listen. I'm going to stop you again.
Yeah, go ahead.
You're doing an incredible job, doctor. You're the best at this. For like scientists that watch, they totally get you. But for the general public, do me a favor. Quantify then what the end game is, the master plan, then go back into the technicals.
Master plan is simple. 3/4 of the world's population are unnecessary and to be shoved off the planet.
So it's being done now.
The great news is it's happening. We actually have watched World War III, and let's get really clear.
You're right. We're in World War III.
It's already happening.
We're in the middle of a bioweapon war.
We're sitting there waiting for the kinetics. We don't understand that this
war... A smart war isn't nuclear. It's silent.
Not only is it not... Let's think about the
and you set up a medical system that makes money while you kill people.
My gosh, you actually have pediatricians that were actually financially incentivized to get a percentage of their children injected. And we know that in 2018, we know that the pseudouridine that was put in the shot, yes, big word, just stay with me. The thing that was put in the shot to stabilize the mRNA, the thing that was modified was published to be lethal in every single use it had ever been put in.
So they're doing a beta test.
We knew we were going straight to humans to kill them.
Am I wrong to say, though, this is the beta test to see if they get away with something bigger?
There's no question. And the great news is you and I and a bunch of people who are in the community that's watching this presented a little bit of a steep...
That was my next question. How's it going for them?
Sucks. Yeah. You know? And it's great. I listened to you, Alex, a couple times in the last week or two, and I just want to stop for a moment. Alex has to say this because nobody else does, so I'm going to say it for him. When he talks about the fact that this is a war, and he's talking about the importance of InfoWars, and he's talking about the importance of keeping this thing going as long as we can, I want to be abundantly clear. This is David Martin speaking as a totally unpaid spokesperson. I happen to just care about this. But I don't think we understand that we are no different right now than the French Resistance was when Europe was occupied. We have to see this as a war. We cannot sit here and pretend that somehow or another we're going to sit there and go, well, you know, somebody else is going to solve the problem. You are going to solve the problem. And having a venue like this, let's be really clear, because people like me, I can't be on Bloomberg and CNBC where I used to be. I can't be there anymore because what I say will go in the
face. And I used to see you on there.
Of course, that's where I used to live. But here's the problem, people. It's one thing for Alex to say, hey, pray for this organization and support it. But I'm going to be David Martin saying that without Alex, without the amazing work of people like, you know, Russell Brand and Tucker Carlson and Joe Rogan and others who are actually out there trying to keep a conversation going. If we didn't have these conversations in these venues, we have lost the war before we ever started. Think about this, and Alex didn't tell me to say this, but I'm saying it to you. I want you to really think about this. George Washington, Valley Forge, middle of the winter. Okay? Terrible time to be at war. Terrible time to be suffering because you realize that this thing that was supposed to be a revolutionary war that you thought was going to be over after.
What do you make of the attempt to take January 6th, which we know was a federally provocateur event at many levels, there were also some useful idiots that got sucked into it, in my view, to now project on that, no, it's not radical Islam that's the big threat, it's not communist China that's the threat, it's the American people and patriots that are the threat, and with straight faces, the CIA has come out and said, oh, we believe a civil war has already begun. We're going to have to arrest all the leadership. I mean, this is what a real authoritarian takeover looks like historically.
The most dangerous terrorist threat to our homeland is white supremacy.
The most lethal terrorist threat in the homeland, white supremacists.
The most lethal terrorist threat to the homeland today, white supremacy is terrorism.
Can you speak to that with your historic understanding?
I expect something, again, another distraction. I expect because of what was staged on January 6th and what was staged up in Michigan to kidnap, you know, the fake kidnapping of the governor up in Michigan, Whitmer. I think we're going to see staged events. I really do. I mean, I really do think that do not put past this administration with their thugs in some cases that they have access to. Do not put it past them to stage something.
Say?
He said there's a storm coming in.
I know.
We told you what was going to happen, and it did. Now we're telling you what's coming. At Real Alex Jones on X.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.